Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It is a national holiday. It is opening day. I am one of those that still loves opening day. It doesn't mean I'm some old guy. It's just that Major League Baseball, in certain markets, it is viewed as a rite of passage that spring has sprung when the baseball team gets started. That has not been the case with the hometown nine here in Phoenix because they haven't been any good for the last several years. But today I can say with full confidence that they're going to be much better. I can say that I'm really pumped, psyched, geeked for tonight's opening game. And of course, the national title game is tonight in college basketball. Eric is in studio today. It's nice to have him back. Are you excited for opening day? You're never cynical, really. I mean, when you think
you're just
a truthsayer.
No, that's true. But I like the youth movement. It's time.
It was refreshing over the weekend.
Let these kids play.
Wasn't it nice over the weekend to see that they traded Trevor Cahill? I mean, right there, it's, okay, Dave Stewart's GM of the year. That's done. That's finished. And then Cody Ross, thank you for playing. I have nothing personal against Cody Ross, but please leave.
Yep.
Aaron Hill, you're a nice enough guy, but you're not going to play. And he's got to get traded here in the next few days, I would think.
I would think so, too. So, I mean, look at those three salaries, too. I'm sure the Diamondbacks had to pay chunks of that, but just to rid yourself of those overpaid, underperforming players has to be at least a refreshing start going into the season.
Aaron Hill was fine 3 years ago, but there's no reason to have Aaron Hill play on this year's team. I have been one that has said, I'll continue to say it, even if you want to beat me into submission, that they're going to win 84 games this year.
Yeah, you're crazy, but
what the,
feel free to be crazy.
What's the thing about you? Why is it most people are just so, like, I don't know. Is it that hard to figure out that they didn't have Goldschmidt for, 70 games last year? Like, almost half the season? I mean, come on.
Well,
And then Trumbo wasn't worth a darn, but he hurt his foot. I understand it's all about pitching. Yeah, I'll hear that over and over and over. But it's not like Tony La Russa is a knucklehead. It's not like that we're going to be sitting here in July and it's going to be the same group of guys. At some point, they will hopefully, I would think, see Daniel Hudson make some progress, and then they'll probably want to move on from him.
Here's food for thought, okay?
Sure.
Las Vegas Superbook.
Don't care.
Lowest MLB win totals. Phillies, 67. Braves, 72. Diamondbacks, 72. Twins, 73. Rockies, 73.5.
Don't care.
Okay, so Vegas thinks they're going to be the second worst team in baseball.
Vegas may think that, but you can't tell me that. Again, this is all predicated on health. You can't tell me that Tony La Russa is going to sit in his box and say, boy, our pitching stinks, but there's nothing we can do about it. So I want to talk about that a little bit further as the show moves on today. Obviously, the national title game is tonight in college basketball, and I took in a lot of the both games. I did walk away from the final 12 minutes and fired up the barbecue on Michigan and Duke because that game was over. The Kentucky game was, that was just fun. That was just fun. That's what sports is all about. Paula Bovin is in Indianapolis. She had a courtside seat for the Final Four. She'll have a courtside seat tonight in Indy for the national title game. My friend, AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin, will join us at the bottom of the hour. Gonzo's running around town today, and he and Eric have been going back and forth, so he may jump on as well. And if he does, that's fine. If he doesn't, it's fine, too. It's fine. Let's get you caught up some things going on in my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Last Thursday, I was sitting over at Marley's with a couple of my friends, and they were talking about heading up to Arizona State's big White Mountain Steak Fry, and they're going to stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. They do so every year. They talked about having the great food, the great fun, the entertainment, how they get up there, they win. They pull down the slots, and they have a lot of fun. They do so at the Honda Resort and Casino. That big ASU Steak Fry event that they have every year, the White Mountain Sun Devil Club puts it on. It's coming up, guys, in just a couple of months. And the place to stay, if you're a Sun Devil fan, college football fan, last year you had 900 people at that event, a big white tent. It's at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, again, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one, the Honda Resort and Casino. So Josh Colemanter is getting the start tonight. I'm going to head to the ballpark after we're done with today's show. I like to get down there early on opening day. They open the clubhouse around 2:30. I need to go play Who Are You? And please go stand in front of your locker so your name... Like, Eric, if we did a game of holding up the pictures of the players, I would probably get, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 right, and the rest I'd be like, I have no idea who you are. Doesn't mean I'm a bad guy. Just means I went out to spring training a couple of times. I don't get all wound up. I'm not there every day. But it's a young group, and yeah,
you'd recognize the manager. You'd recognize the first baseman. You'd recognize a few of the players. So.
I'd recognize Tuffy. I would recognize the catcher. I would recognize Trumbo. Insei Arte, I would recognize. There's a few. I mean,
Aaron Hill.
I would recognize Aaron Hill because he's over on the bench. Yeah. He's going to be interesting to watch. But nonetheless, it is opening day. There is a new manager in place. As much as I liked the hiring of Kirk Gibson a few years ago, I was very much in favor of the firing of him because the players basically quit. The last time I checked, players don't get fired, managers do. So Chip Hale comes into place. He's almost the anti-Gibby. He's very outgoing and gregarious. He's been a part of the Diamondbacks, and he's pumped up for tonight.
Well, it's very exciting, of course. You know, when you get the job, you start thinking about the roster. You start thinking about the next season. And then you get into spring training. You're so involved with the day-to-day scheduling and what we're going to do today. You sort of forget about the regular season. Now, all of a sudden, it's right in front of us.
And so it is here, and it's the Giants. Bring on the best. That's fine. I'm very pleased to have the Jets here. And Cole Mentor will get the start. Yesterday was very interesting within the National League West. And actually, the National League West to me has become, I'm fascinated by what's going on there. I really am. Because nobody's expecting the Rockies other than Pedro to do well. And I don't know why that is, but Pedro's all over Colorado. He doesn't think that the Diamondbacks are going to be very good. Pedro Gomez will be with us every Wednesday from here forward during the baseball season to break down what's going on. He's part of our team. The Dodgers, you know, their bullpen to me is shaky. Some injuries, some players that want to play. Their outfield situation is crowded. But, yeah, they're starting pitching. If Ryu comes back healthy, they're going to be very good. And there's no question about it. Look, I'm not saying the Diamondbacks are going to win the National League West. What I am saying is I think that the group above, La Russa, Stewart, Hale, if they can just keep their heads above water the first 4 weeks to 6 weeks, because nobody's expecting them to do anything. This whole nonsense of play with a chip on your shoulder, I don't buy that for a minute. It's not like a guy sits there for 3 hours or 6 hours a day and says, I'm going to show everybody I don't buy that. I'm leading all this to San Diego. The Padres have decided to go all in the National League West. And yesterday they acquired one of the best closers in the game in Craig Kimbrell. He had 47 saves. They also picked up Justin Upton's brother, BJ. I don't know what the trend is in sports. We've seen how fabulously awful it's worked out here in Arizona with the Morris brothers, the Drogic brothers that were here. And now the Padres decided to go get BJ Upton, who's now Melvin Upton, and Craig Kimbrell. Justin is over with the Padres now. The Padres yesterday took on $80.35 million in salary yesterday. And they're going for it this year. Okay, that's great. If there's any part of that team that doesn't work out with all that money on the hook, you talk about an organization that could be hamstrung for a long time. They could either look brilliant or they can look like fools that decided to go for it all and it blew up in their face. To the Padre credit, their bullpen was the second best last year in baseball, so they decided to go out and get Kimbrel. San Diego has a lot of talent. There's no question about it. But it's not like the Diamondbacks are sitting there with a team that can't win. What did you say, Eric? 74 is where Vegas had them?
73.
So I'm 11 wins shy of what Vegas has.
You're going 3 over .500. Vegas thinks 8 under .500.
Yeah. And they're just as easily, in my opinion, able to get to that 84 win total if some things break their way. Again, I'm not saying they're going to win a division. They're not going to win a World Series. But last year was just awful. You know, Addison Reed last year was not good at all. And here's Chip Hale on the back end of his bullpen. He feels pretty good about Addison Reed, who came in last year. If you remember correctly, last year Addison Reed came in with his gas can in his hand, more than his glove and ball in his hand.
Yeah, Evan's coming to spring and showing me a lot. I've heard a lot about him, but his sinker's just great, which we like at our ballpark. Zego's a proven guy, like you said, and Addison Reed's coming back. You know, he hasn't had the full spring that we'd like, but I think he's getting to the point where he's feels comfortable about going out there and closing games.
Yeah, I like Evan Marshall. So the starting pitching, Archie Bradley. Archie's throwing Saturday, Eric, is that what?
Yeah, Saturday is his first
So he's
start.
Going against the Dodgers on Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah, I may have to go to that. That sounds like a must-see event for me. But so there you go on that. The March Madness, there's a lot of different directions. In fact, let's break a little early here because I don't want to start on this rant and go down. Rex Chapman was doing the game the other night for Kentucky, and it was just painful. And then there's all this off-the-court stuff with Rex. And I have nothing against Rex, but it's like, what happened here? Plus the Masters stuff, too. We'll step aside, and on the other side, we'll get into March Madness. And tonight, Kentucky... one of the Wildcats has decided that he is going to turn pro, and it's no April Fool's joke. We'll tell you which one. And ASU's coaching search. We'll talk about Wisconsin-Duke and the Kentucky game and much more on the other side. I'm Brad Sussman.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Well, during the break, I see where Adrian Peterson tomorrow is meeting with the NFL. So keep that the back of your minds that there's a couple things on Adrian Peterson. He'll meet with the NFL. They will decide, hopefully they'll decide, if he'll be wearing a different uniform when he makes his return to the football field. That won't be what they will decide. What they will decide is if the suspension under the previous personal conduct policy was improperly applied. The NFL appealed the decision. Peterson is back on the commissioner's exempt list. And there will be discussions about Peterson starting tomorrow with officials from the league about a full reinstatement. If they don't fully reinstate him, I don't know what the Cardinals will do on that front. And the other side is Tony Romo's restructure almost exactly matches the number that Adrian Peterson is presently making. So there's people in Dallas that are thinking that's the direction they're going to go. But this much I am certain of, this much I am sure of, actually, is that the Cardinals are looking at the Adrian Peterson thing as more than just something sort of maybe that might happen, that there's some real interest there on that front. Now, let's go over to the college basketball before we get to tonight's game. So Brandon Ashley, this is John Rothstein, Eric, that reported this, and John's really good, that Brandon Ashley is turning pro. You know, I'm not one to tell somebody when they're able to go chase money for their living, for their lifestyle. In my humble opinion, is Brandon Ashley a top 10 pick, top 15 pick, top 20 pick? I'd say closer to the latter than the former on that one. But nonetheless, he decides he wants to turn pro. We haven't heard about Stanley Johnson yet, but that's the word that Brandon Ashley is going to turn pro. And I'm a very nice young man, but I don't see where he is a lottery pick or somebody that could be close to it, maybe in consulting with his coach. It's, look, this is about as high as your ceiling's going to be. Maybe financially he needs to get into the money. I don't know. But that is the word this morning, is that Brandon Ashley's turning pro. The ASU coaching job still is open. I think they're just waiting for Jeff Capel tonight. So I would anticipate tomorrow or Wednesday a press conference, win or lose. And that takes us to the game. So the Wisconsin-Kentucky game, let's just start there. I didn't know about the three broadcasts that were going on in advance. And once I found myself over on TNT and I heard Rex Chapman on the air, last time I checked on Rex, we were feeling very bad for him because he had some personal stuff going on here in Scottsdale with shoplifting. And he was not back with Grand Canyon as an analyst, but he surfaces here. I read on social media, even Kentucky fans were not happy about Rex Chapman. And I listened for about a minute and there was a lot of we and us and I was out of there. So I was immediately over to Nance, Grant Hill, and Bill Raftery. And Grant Hill, I think, has gotten better. There's no question that he was put into a space when Greg Anthony went off the cliff. And somebody should do a piece on where is Greg Anthony today, because he let go of a primo gig. So some broadcast executives decided it's time for Grant Hill to be put in that chair. Now, I like Grant a great deal personally. I've never found him to be a yeller or a screamer, and that's what he's suddenly become on the CBS broadcast. I very much like Bill Raftery and have liked him through the years. And again, this speaks to how broadcast executives work. Nobody really knows. Why is it that we are just now getting Bill Raftery in the Final Four in the championship game? Because in my opinion, he's really, really good. And for far too long, we've needed somebody like Bill Raftery to be there.
And I echo your sentiments on Grant Hill. I ran out during the first game to get some food, and I flipped on Westwood One, and Clark Kellogg was doing the game, and I was thinking to myself, why did they take Clark Kellogg off these games again?
Yeah.
Because as much as I like Grant, I mean, Clark Kellogg is as polished and smooth and knowledgeable. And
he comes on our show a lot. So
he does. He does. But it is interesting because somebody at the top of the food chain said, no, we need to switch things up. And I don't necessarily think it makes for a better broadcast having Grant Hill on the call.
Grant Hill would say something, and then he would finish it by saying, when I'm talking about Kentucky, or when I am talking about Duke, or when I am talking about Wisconsin. Many, many times he would do that. And you don't have to give me the, it's really exciting in here, I got it. I felt like in the Duke broadcast, he was trying very hard to not be pro-Duke, which is normal.
Did you watch any of the pregame show? They were really ramping up. We're so excited. The Final Four is finally here.
I'm almost, I'm to the point, nobody wants to say, maybe, Jim, you should just do the Masters. Nobody wants to say that. But I'll say it. Maybe it's time to have a fresh voice rather than, really, there's only one person in America who's good enough to do those two events back-to-back weeks. And we're going to turn that into a big narrative. I'm not ripping on them. It's just, I don't know. Dave Pasch is pretty darn talented.
Yep.
And Dave Pasch could do a Final Four very easily in my mind.
Unless Nance was told by the higher-ups, you know what, you really need to push and sell the excitement.
Well, that's the number.
You shouldn't have to, Brad.
This is a whole,
it's the Final Four. You've got four huge, great teams playing the Final Four.
This is a whole part of our the broadcast world where they're paying so much money and they've got to get as many eyeballs that they have to scream and yell. But is it really that valuable of a property when in the day everything would be on CBS? Instead, CBS is running reruns on Saturday night and they're sprinkling these broadcasts out. And sure, you can make money off of TNT having the Homer channel for Kentucky. And you can have True TV, which nobody watches True TV except in March. And you can make some money on True TV's bottom line.
I watch Cops once in a while on True TV.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're one of the few. And then we can put it on TBS, which very few people watch as what compared to what they used to. And is it really that valuable of a property? So they spread it out over all these networks, which to me is kind of interesting. The team cast thing, I guess it's fine. I don't know. If Arizona State made it to a Final Four, would I be excited to hear Eddie House or Kyle Dodd do the broadcast? I don't know. And it's all it is we and us. Get me out of here. I don't want that. So the game itself, Wisconsin-Kentucky, was a classic. It's one of those games that I will remember for years and years because it was so good. Somebody told me this morning when they see Sam Decker, they see Tom Chambers. I don't know if I see Tom Chambers because Tom, when he was at the University of Utah, was kind of a heavier set baby fat guy. He could do some pretty amazing things. Somebody else said, well, they see Keith Van Horn in him. I don't know if I see Keith. I was talking about this over breakfast. I don't know if I see Keith Van Horn in him. But I know this. Sam Decker on my team, I would be pretty happy to have him. The way that Wisconsin beat Kentucky, let's talk about this a little further. For all the SEC Nation nonsense that we get in football, where they're playing Alcorn State the third week of November or whomever it is, directional schools, Furman and all that nonsense, Kentucky was in an SEC team that once the round of 32 was complete, there was not one remaining SEC team except for Kentucky. Playing Texas A&M and having Texas A&M push you to the limits in the regular season is one thing. But when you get into March and Notre Dame push Kentucky, and finally Wisconsin was able to break through, is it really that big of an upset?
And Utah. push Kentucky.
And Utah, too. No, you're right. Is it really that big of an upset in the grand scheme of things when everybody's talking about, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that this went down? No, I don't think so. Wisconsin has guys that have been together. You know, Kaminsky has been there. Decker has been there. That's a really good team. The other side of the bracket, I was hoping Michigan State would put up a fight. They did so for the first few minutes, and then it was over. That game was way over. Duke goes on and wins. Somebody asked me yesterday, would you take, of the two, would you take Winslow or would you take, would you take Decker or Winslow? Would you take Kaminsky or Okafor? And when I think about it, Kaminsky is a great college player. I don't know if he can get away with the same sort of low post moves in the pro level. I don't think he can. Okafor just seems to be coming into his own, in my view. And tonight, with Kaminsky did a very good job, I thought, on Saturday night, staying out of foul trouble. And so now here's Kaminsky on facing Jahlil Okafor tonight.
It's going to be a good matchup, you know. To be the best, you got to beat the best, and he's one of the best players in the country, and Duke's one of the best teams in the country. So we see it as another good matchup for us, and we're going to do whatever we can to come out on top.
I don't know if you saw any of yesterday's press conferences, Eric, but Wisconsin was screwing around all over the place, very loose, like really loose.
That's how it was in L.A. That's the same, like when Nigel Hayes was sort of hitting on, what's the person on the side that does like the...
Transcriber?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He like said, wow, you're really beautiful, and the mic was hot, and
and she was hot.
Deadspin picked up on it, and she started blushing, and
That's good. I'm finding myself wanting to see Bo Ryan win, and I said this a week ago. I don't know Bo Ryan. I've never covered Bo Ryan. I've never been around Wisconsin.
They're loose. They're just playing.
Well, Bo Ryan won Division III titles four times. Coach K has won four Division I titles. And so there's something about Bo Ryan, even when he's interviewed, he comes across as just kind of, we kind of blow, but we're here, and, you know, just very loose.
A little snarky sometimes, too.
Is he?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's fine. Here's Bo Ryan on the letdown possibility after winning on Saturday night against Kentucky. Would there be any chance of a letdown tonight against Duke?
We had to win at Minnesota, at Ohio State at the end of the year, and Michigan State at home to lock up the Big Ten championship regular season. And then, of course, the three games in Battle for Atlantis, they've had some experience at this. And then these past weekends, you play Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday.
So these two teams met in December, and Duke won on the road by 10. I asked Sean Miller when Arizona was playing Ohio State, could you guys meet in the regular season? One of the problems that has not been really talked about, in my humble opinion, in college basketball is these heavyweight matchups that need to take place in the regular season. So tonight we're seeing a rematch of Duke-Wisconsin from December 3rd. In that game, Duke won by 10, but in reality, in reading back on the story and hearing some national commentators, Duke could have won by 20 in that game. Decker only scored 5.
It's so long ago. I mean, December, and you're still kind of in the heart of football season. The college basketball season really doesn't get cranked up until
however,
the end of the year.
But wouldn't you like to see, don't you think that college basketball needs to, in a day where we're talking about how the regular season just doesn't really mean that much, you and I don't really talk a lot of March Madness or potential college basketball. I'll bring up RPI with U of A and ASU in December because it's just as important then. But I would like to see, you know, Wisconsin-Duke in December. I think that's terrific for the game. You know, in terms of on the court tonight, the defense of Duke, when I watch Duke play defense, man, do they play defense. They're giving up 55 points per game, and teams are just shooting 37% against them. To give you an idea, Gonzaga is the number one scoring team in the nation. They shot just 44%, and Pangos couldn't get himself going at all. And that's one of the terrific players in the country. So, you know, on one hand, I'd like to see Bo Ryan win tonight. I think Wisconsin is a more veteran-tested team. They've been through a lot of things. But defensively, how can you pick against Duke? Paula Bovin is in Indianapolis. She'll join us on the other side as we go through the final four matchups, now down to the final two. And I'm sure she's been trying to get Jeff Capel, the Duke assistant, to say, yeah, I'm coming to Arizona State. So we'll talk to her about that. It is Masters week, and I've got some thoughts on that as we move through today's show. And much, much more. It is opening day as well. Sports360AZ.com. Plenty of content on Sports360AZ.com right now for you to check out. We do video, we do written, we do things that are Arizona-centric. We partner with AZ Central Sports.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
She is in Indianapolis for tonight's national title game. And Paula Bovin, my friend, joins us live, AZ Central Sports columnist. Is your seat going to be on the floor? Or are you an ant 100 miles away? Do you have good seats for this game?
My laptop is even with the court. So it's pretty darn good, Brad.
Your laptop's even with the court. So they're taking good care of you. That is good to hear. Let's start with Arizona State before we get into the games tonight. Is it all fait accompli that Jeff Capel will be the next basketball coach at Arizona State from everything you're hearing in Indianapolis, or is the job still open?
You know, I wouldn't go as far as to say it's a done deal because it's, and this is so funny because I've been talking to a lot of the national writers that are here following it, and they said they haven't heard sort of a job search as quiet as this one in a long time, meaning these names aren't coming out other than Capel. That is enough to make me believe that it's pretty darn close and they're waiting until the end of this Final Four to announce it. And just about an hour ago, and I'm going to have a blog post set up soon, I went and saw Jerry Colangelo at the Hall of Fame announcements, and I asked him about Capel because there's obviously that relationship with USA Basketball, and he couldn't rave enough about him. You know, he said, I spent, you know, like a month practically living with this guy, getting to observe his character, his work ethic, everything else. You know, he wouldn't speak specifically on ASU, but he said as, you know, someone who is seen Capel, he couldn't say enough nice things about him and a lot of high praise. So it certainly sounds like it's heading in that direction, Brad, although I've not heard that from anyone at ASU because they are running a very tight ship there.
Sure, sure. And I saw where Doug Haller, your colleague, is back there, and he did try to talk to Jeff Capel about it, and Jeff shot him down, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, he talked to Jeff about a lot of other things, but I think because they're still in the tournament, I don't know if they're still negotiating. I don't know if there's something that slowed it down, but that's certainly the name and only name we've been hearing. I mean, I've been talking to other guys that have been named alleged candidates in the media, and they said they've not talked to ASU at all.
So what do we take from that with Ray Anderson, that he just can be stealth? I mean, if he doesn't hire Jeff Capel, and I have to believe the hire comes this week. There's no reason for it to not take place this week, unless it's an NBA guy that he's waiting on. I know Alvin Gentry's name's been thrown out there, but that just doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, yeah, I think this is totally running, Ray's totally running the show. And, you know, this is a savvy guy. This is a guy who's experienced success at a lot of levels in sports. He was an agent. He worked in the NFL. I mean, he's seen it done at a variety of levels, and it sounds to me like he's keeping it very close to the vest, that there's not a lot of people involved in conversations, and he didn't want anything to leak out. So it's been pretty interesting just watching this process.
No, I think you can learn a lot from somebody when they're in coaching searches, and you know, that he is stealth in that regard. Talking to Paula Bovin, she is live in Indianapolis, AZ Central sports columnist. She is at the Final Four. What did you make out of the games on Saturday night?
Well, one, just Wisconsin not only has been one of the best teams in the country, and I think Kentucky has overshadowed that with their run, but they're definitely the loosest team of any Final Four I think I've ever covered. The contrast between Wisconsin and Duke in these press conferences has been very funny. And not that Duke is wound tight. They're just more businesslike, you know? Mm-hmm. Getting things done, and that's how they do the Duke way. These Wisconsin players are embracing this experience to the fullest. I think this is absolutely a go-to-the-wire game. I think Vegas, if I heard correctly, is pretty much calling it a push because it's going to be one of those contests. So I was really impressed by Duke. Honestly, I hadn't seen them a lot except for early in the season, and defensively they look like a bit of a mess. That's part of, I guess, having a lot of freshmen. They just look so much better than I had remembered them.
Okay, so if you had to choose between Winslow or Decker. Who do you take?
Oh, my God. You mean of, like, putting him on my team or whatever?
Yeah, on your team. On your team. You've seen them both in person. Lord. Decker or Winslow?
You know, college basketball has become very much about guys who can capitalize on a moment, hit the winning shot, all those things. So for that reason alone, I'm going with Decker because he can become unconscious from shooting outside at times.
Kaminsky.
But I love them both. I like both of them a lot as players.
Kaminsky or Okafor?
Are we talking for a pro career, or are we just talking my college basketball team I'm building?
I'd say pro. I'd say you're in the next step, because gosh knows the way the Suns have been this year, anybody could do that job. And I don't mean that any disrespect to you. I mean, I could be there, too. I mean, it's just like,
no, I understand, Brad.
You know what I mean.
I would go with Okafor. I mean, I think there's just so much more of him to blossom. He's a freshman. You know, Kaminsky's is a senior, and so not that he's tapped out on his talent, but I think there's just so much more for Okafor to do that I'd go with him.
Okay, so I hear Okafor Chris Bosh comparison. Do you see that when you're sitting there courtside in Indianapolis?
You know, that's an interesting one. I could see it. I just think there's still a lot of unanswered questions with Okafor. I mean, I think when you're that young and there's so much more you can do, I don't know if we know who he's going to become. I just think he has a ceiling that's higher than any I've seen in a long time. So certainly the Bosh thing makes sense, but I think we still have a lot of questions about him.
Okay, were you there when his parents were chiding the media for him only getting 5? Did you see that, or did you hear about that, or did you witness that? His parents, I guess, were ripping the media in person afterwards?
I heard some bits about it. I wasn't there. I mean, yeah. It just seems ridiculous to me.
All right, so let's turn this around. In Decker, I've heard Tom Chambers, Keith Van Horn. Do you see that in Sam Decker?
Sure. I mean, those are guys who both could deliver, you know, a big shot when they needed it. And Decker, to me, too, I mean, I saw him earlier in the season, and I wasn't overly impressed. Now, I know then he got injured, and he even said in a press conference yesterday he looked a lot slower than he is. So I think he's just elevated his game to a high level, and I think he's a guy we could see have a nice run in the NBA.
Paula Bovin with us from Indianapolis. The national title game is tonight, Duke and Wisconsin. I'll ask you who you like when it all gets wrapped up. But I do want to just get a feel from you. What's it like at a Final Four? I've always told people it's the best sporting event to cover. I've covered Super Bowls, I've covered World Series, all that. The Final Four to me is easily, it's not even close, because you run into so many coaches and so many players, and the history of the game is right there on display. Have you had that the last few days?
It's unbelievable, and you know, I've talked with you, Brad, about it. It's my favorite thing to cover. It always has been, and it's interesting because I've been shadowing a little bit, or talking to the Phoenix people that are here that are shadowing Indy people for their final, because Phoenix, of course, has a Final Four in 2 years. And Tom Sadler was telling me yesterday that there were some members in the Arizona community who initially weren't overly supportive of the idea, you know, in their needs for fundraising and things like that, because they'd never been to a Final Four and didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I will tell you, for a fan experience, I think it's the best. The Super Bowl is terrific, but it's become very corporate. That's who the crowd is. The fans here are about the teams that are here. There's more experiences for fans. There's the coaches' hotel where you can just go in the lobby and hang out and run into Krzyzewski and run into Jim Calhoun and all kinds of the greats in the game. For the fan experience, I think you don't beat it. You've got the prep fans. You've got all this other stuff going on. And I'm really excited for the Valley to have it, because I think they're going to – people who haven't been there – we'll get a chance to really, truly appreciate it. And then you mentioned the history of the game. All these Hall of Famers come in town because they do a Hall of Fame ceremony, and they're all hanging around too, so it's great.
That's cool. A couple of things I'll let you go. So when you're sitting there covering Bo Ryan, I know what it's like to cover Krzyzewski, at least from a distance, and press conferences and all that stuff. I mean, when media members refer to him as Coach K rather than Coach or Mr. Krzyzewski,
right.
You know what I mean? There's just
that
reverence. But Bo Ryan is sitting there having won 4 championships at Division III, and he's got a chance tonight to do something very, very special. He seems kind of like a pop gun, kind of loose. What's he like?
He's unbelievable. And, you know, I got to be honest, I never paid much attention to Bo Ryan until last year. you know, it was Wisconsin. He had this other career. Just was, he's so funny. He's so honest. He, you know, rips on his players. He jokes with his players. They definitely set the tone. His players definitely follow his lead. But he's just, you can tell he's a guy who's only, he's only done what he's loved, coach basketball. He's at the highest level now. He's older. He doesn't really care what people think about what he says. And it's been very, his press conferences and the team's press conferences have been very, very refreshing.
Who do you like tonight?
Well, I like Duke. I've been sort of leaning toward Wisconsin, but I think it's partly because of that personality I was just talking about. You know, there's part of them that you think how fun it would be for Wisconsin to win. I just think Duke has raised their level of play to a point they're going to be tough to beat. But it's only going to be by a few points, I think. It's going to be really close.
Thanks for your time. Safe travels. See you soon.
Okay, Brad.
There's Paula Bovin on the road, AZ Central sports columnist there in Indianapolis. She will be courtside tonight. She, for the last month, has been on the road. We saw her in Vegas. We saw her in Portland. Eric saw her in Los Angeles. Now she's in Indianapolis doing a terrific job. Luis Gonzalez is going to join us on the other side. Gonzo's up next. Talk a little bit about opening day for the Diamondbacks. Looking very much forward to that. Plenty of content on our site at sports360az.com. We actually have a story about Gonzo and his son and Tom Candiotti and his son. And the two boys are on the same team. And Gonzo and Candy sit and watch them play. We have that story coming up here shortly on the website. Luis Gonzalez is next. I'm just getting crushed on my 84-win prediction for the Diamondbacks. You know, Pedro's going to be with us every Wednesday during the season, and he won't let it go. It's fine. I'm not going out on a limb. I'm just saying they're going to be better than what you think. I just feel very good about the direction they're going, and I'm calling my shot. Who doesn't like a shot being called? Luis Gonzalez joins us now for a couple of minutes, special assistant to the president and CEO, and somebody I'll just say right off the top has done a very, very good job in assimilating, moving from on the field to off the field. It's hard to believe that you've been off the field now for a few years and you're doing so well. On this opening day, how do you feel about this team?
I'm excited. I mean, if you look at our ball club, the way it's shaped out right now, for opening day, you have, you know, with Jake Lamb, Ahmed Owings, Goldschmidt, and then, of course, you got Drury down in AAA, Tomas. If you look at our infield alone, there's a lot of excitement that could possibly be here for a long time to come with these young players. And, you know, it's all about getting off to a good start, I think, for our club. If we can get out of the gates well and they start gaining confidence, we have a healthy Trumbo this year, which will be huge for us hitting behind Goldie. So there's a lot of different intangibles that can help our ball club become a better team this year.
Okay, so when I say 84 wins and people want to smack me upside the head, are you thinking I'm off, I'm a little high?
No, I don't think you're off at all. I think anything can happen. It's just a matter of, you know, getting out of the gates and getting off to a good start for anybody. I think you just got to go out there and play well right out of the gates. I think last year was hurt us a lot, not only the injuries, but just going to Australia and not playing well and then having to swim against the stream, really, to try to get back to .500, which we were never able to do.
All right, well, the next time you see Pedro Gomez, then smack him upside the head because he's just crushing me over this.
I will.
Like, Brad, you're just losing your mind here. All right, well, it all comes down to starting pitching, I think, and injury and health. There's all these factors. But as you look at the starting pitching, I don't believe that here on April 6th, Luis, that on July 15th, it's going to be the same five guys every day. I think that there's some people in the system. I think there's going to be injury, of course. And I think that the organization is wide, wide open based on what's just happened the last 48 hours of saying, we're not going to pay you to please go away. So let's just talk starting pitching for a minute, where it sits today. How do you feel about the rotation?
No, you're right, Brett. I'm with you as far as, you know, you always look for that surprise player. We're hoping Hellickson has a comeback year, you know, rookie of the year a couple years back. So, but for us, it's all a matter of, you know, we don't have a guy on our staff that has ever pitched 200-plus innings.
Right.
I mean, you know, you got to find those guys. And then we have a couple guys who have been hurt, and you hope that, you know, they're able to come back and fill our rotation and get back to their old health that they used to be. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that go on.
talking to Luis Gonzalez. Tomas going down to the minor leagues, this is not going to be a permanent residence for him here in 2015, in my humble opinion. What does he need to learn down there from your view?
Well, I just think he hasn't played in a long time, and I think he just needs to recoup and get his body in good shape, playing shape, and be ready to go. He hasn't played third base a lot, hasn't played in a real game in a while. Spring training, we just kind of threw him out there. And not only that, but he just has to get used to the accommodations that we have here, whether it's AAA or the big leagues. And, you know, he got along great with all his teammates while he was at big league camp. It's just, I honestly would love to see him just pull the ball once in a while a little bit more. He's got a great swing to right field, right center field, which is great for our ballpark. But once in a while, I just love to see him just jerk a ball down the left field line.
Can he play, Luis? I mean, you're paying him a lot of money, and that's a pretty open-ended question, but do you just see him and say, okay, we've got somebody here?
Well, obviously, I think our scouts and our front office people have seen something in him that they really like for us to go out there and sign a guy like that. I think if you look at the history of all the Cuban players that have come through here, not here in Arizona, but just through Major League Baseball, and the recent history has shown that they've all been able to come up here and do well. You got to remember now, Puig was a guy who played well, but he started out in the minor leagues and then developed and came up quickly, but he did well, but he did have to go to the minors. And I think that's the same scenario with us, with Tomas and with Lopez, also a young pitcher that we have in our organization.
And the thing with Puig is he was a knucklehead. You know, he just wasn't a good teammate from every account, from every corner, and didn't really respect the game the right way. Have you seen Tomas handle himself differently?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, this guy gets along with everybody. Trumbo and Goldie and all these guys, you know, you walk by every day and they're all messing around with him, goofing around. They're smiling and laughing. And, you know, he's a good-hearted kid. He wants to go out there and have fun. And not only that, but he wants to make a good effort out there and make an impact on this ball club.
Opening day, Luis Gonzalez. Before we let you go, a couple other questions. Chip Hale, how different of a feel is it versus Gibby?
I think it's a positive vibe that we have here. His communication skills with not only the players but the fans and everybody is totally different. And I, you know, no knock on Gibby, but I just think these guys are all excited. A lot of them had Chip in the minor leagues, or most of them, and they know the type of player and guy that he is, or coach that he is, and they're excited to have him here, and we all are in the organization. He's a very energetic guy and passionate about what he does.
Can you point at one player in the starting lineup tonight that you're looking at saying, I am so excited to see this kid because, Brad, he's right on the precipice of doing something really good?
Well, I think A.J. Pollock, if you look at everybody on the team, he's the guy, to me, that's a catalyst on this ball club. Last year he was having an all-star year. You know, and putting up MVP numbers early in the season until he had that injury. And not only that, but Trumbo. I think he's going to be huge for a guy like Goldschmidt hitting behind him, providing a little bit of protection for Goldie. So we're excited about a lot of different things here, and we're hoping that we just get out of the gates well.
All right. And the game, of course, tonight with Josh Colemanter on the mound. Before I let you go, so I saw a story a couple of weeks ago. This is a personal thing with Luis. His son is playing over at Chaparral High School. Tom Candiotti's son is playing over at Chaparral High School. We sent one of our guys over, unbeknownst. I didn't send you a text or anything. I just said, this is a good story. Go tell it. The story is going to come up later today or tomorrow on the site. I'm just wondering what it's like in that space for you now, going from ball player to seeing your son do well at the high school level, and especially since Candiotti's on the team with him. What's it like?
You know what? It's exciting for me. And you know, I know my son has a little bit of added pressure on him because of the simple fact that he's playing in a hometown or a state where I made my mark with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So it's a little bit tougher for him, but he's handled it like a true champ. He's a hard worker. He's gone out there and done well. And Candy's kid has really, we had a lot of injuries early in the season for Chaparral, and he's really stepped up. And he doesn't throw hard, but he's been effective. And Candy's taught him the curveball and knuckleball and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you that if you throw strikes, you're able to get guys out, and he's been able to do that.
Did you have to have the talk with your son about, hey, don't try to be me?
No, actually, you know what? Every time I've tried that, that doesn't really work out. He communicates a lot better with my wife than me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just kind of stay out of the picture. I sit down the right field line usually, or anywhere out in the outfield, and stay out of his way. And, you know, I know he's going to be a good player. He's got a great heart. He goes out there and works hard. He cares about the other guys on his team, and he grew up with it in his you know, in his household, so he knows how to make adjustments and go out there and be a good person.
Good stuff. I'll see you tonight at the park. Thanks.
You got it, Brad. Take care.
Luis Gonzalez for a couple of minutes. Appreciate his time. One of the best around in many, many capacities with the Diamondbacks. He had a 19-year career. It's always good to hear from Gonzo on opening day. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. So the Fox Sports Arizona girls are here. Eric, did they bring anything or, you know?
They did, yes.
What did they bring?
Calories.
They brought food.
Empty calories.
So we should
we
bring
love
them.
Empty calories.
We'll bring them in on the show. Why not? We'll do that on the other side and get you caught up everything else, reset, as we continue on opening day. I'm Brad Sussmatt.